Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Yes, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. Show is word for word. I'm Pastor Steve, and this is my 403rd word for word shows. It's not counting the reruns. The reruns I don't count, but this is the 403rd new one. We're in the book of Matthew. I will be starting in chapter 18 today. Chapter 18 of the book of Matthew. I'm reading from the scriptures by the Institute for Scripture Research. If you wonder what version of the Bible I'm reading from, it's the most accurate from a major company out there in print right now. I'm going to advise you that you need to take notes, because not only do they have notes in that book, but I have compiled notes from all the other books that I own, which are plenty of them. And I'll be giving you line-by-line notes, references, I've done a lot of research, and I had all that spare time to study while I was locked up. And now I've been free for quite some time, and been at this for quite some time, and been blessed for the service. There's nothing more important in my life than getting the word out, because I have learned over the years that my life is a gift. I'll only be here so long. I never know when I'm going to leave. And I have to do what I have to do while I'm here, and not worry about what comes, because it's all in His hands. Yahweh will deal with all of it. And He's going to keep me here as long as He wills. And when it's time for me to leave, according to His will, I'll do that. And not worried about staying here forever, but if I'm here when the Messiah comes, and the way it's looking, the second coming has got to come soon because it's getting so ugly out there. But let's get into the book of Matthew chapter 18 here. And starting with verse 1, you can reference the book of Luke chapter 22, verse 24, for verse 1 of chapter 18. At that time, the taught ones came to Yeshua, saying, "Who then is greatest in the reign of the heavens?" More of that human ego coming in. Who's going to be the big kahuna? Who's the greatest? Why, Yeshua is, of course. But verse 2, pardon me, I laugh at our own, at our folly. I have to laugh at myself so many times. Verse 2, and Yeshua called a little child to him and set him in their midst. Verse 3, and you can reference Mark chapter 10, verse 15, and Luke chapter 18, verse 17, for this verse. That's Mark 10, 15, and Luke 18:17, verse 3, and said, "Truly, I say to you, unless you turn and become as little children, you shall by no means enter into the reign of the heavens." In other words, regain your innocence, lose this earthly ego and all this other stuff. Verse 4, and he continues on and clarifies this in verse 4. "Whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the reign of the heavens." And then verse 5, "And whoever receives one little child like this," or as this, "in my name receives me." If you receive a humble one, it comes in the name of Yeshua, a humble person. Okay. Verse 6. Now he's comparing adults to little children. That's what he's doing. "But whoever causes one of these little ones," in other words, humble people, he's using the child as a metaphor, "one of these little ones who believe in me to stumble," in other words, if you try to drag them into sin through false doctrine, trying to deceive them and get them to do stuff that's unscriptural, okay, that's making them stumble in the way. "It is better for him that a millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea." In other words, words, if you throw stumbling blocks and are teaching falsehood and causing those that believe on Yeshua and are trying to do right, if you deceive them through your evil works, it's better that you be drowned. Verse 7, and here's Yeshua speaking again. Woe to the world because of stumbling blocks. For it is necessary that stumbling blocks come, but woe to that man by whom the stumbling block comes. I mean, we're going to be tried in the faith. But those that work the evil that try us, they're in trouble. It says, woe to them that cause the stumbling blocks to come. Okay? And they really mistranslate this next verse. This is verse 8. They have a lot of confusion about these, so I'm going to go slow and explain these. Verse 8, and you can reference Matthew chapter 5, verse 30 for verse 8. And if your hand or foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter into life lame or crippled, rather than having two hands or two feet to be thrown into the everlasting fire. All right? Your hand or your foot. What do you do with your hands? You do your works with your hands, right? All right. If you're an idol maker, you make those idols with your hands. And that's sin. You can steal with your hands. You can assault somebody for no reason with your hands. You can take a tool or a weapon and murder somebody out of jealousy or greed with your hands. Or you can short somebody on the weight of stuff that you're selling them. You can stick your thumb on the edge of the scale and cheat them. You know, it's the things that you do that's with the hand. If your hand causes you to stumble, well, that's what you're doing in life. Okay, you have to get rid of whatever's causing you to sin in your life. And your foot, that's the way that you walk in life. How are you walking? Are you walking in the Master's way? Or are you walking with your feet in the way of the world? Now, he's not telling you to actually sever a hand or foot. You have to have discernment here. It's better for you to enter into life. That's eternal life. Lame or crippled. All right, it's better for you to divest yourself in this world of whatever it is that's causing you to sin. Give that up. Give it up. Rather than stay in that way that you're doing and lose your eternal life because of your actions. Okay. Verse 9 of the book of Matthew chapter 18, and you can reference Matthew 5 verse 29 for verse 9 here. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it away from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be thrown into the fire of Gehenna. All right? Your eye, something you see, something you desire. The lust of the eyes, okay? Get that out of your life. Whatever it is you're lusting after that you shouldn't lust after, get it out of your life. Throw it away from you. Don't let it lead you off the path that you should walk in the Master's way. And Gehenna here, the fire of Gehenna, that means the valley of Hinnom in Hebrew. That's the garbage pits where they burned all the garbage. It was an unclean place. It was burning all the time because they were burning stuff there. You would be thrown into the garbage fire. Okay. Verse 10. Chapter 18. And you can reference the book of Tobit in the Apocrypha. Chapter 12, verse 15. All right, verse 10. See that you do not despise one of these little ones. In other words, those that humble themselves and believe in him and try to walk in his way. For I say to you that in the heavens their messengers always see the face of my Father who is in the heavens. Their messengers. In other words, I hate to use this term, the angels that watch over them. And there are protectors. Messengers and divine beings watching over the remnant, okay? They won't always interfere, but they're watching and they're taking notes. I know they're watching over me because I have been so blessed and because my life has been preserved, my physical life here on this planet. I was on my way out. I had a heart attack. And I prayed to Yahweh. I said, do with me as you will, Father. I'm yours. If it's time for me to go, I'm ready. Because I try to walk the walk. I don't always succeed. I'm a man. I'm in this flesh body and I make mistakes. All of us do, but we have to. It's like falling off your bicycle. You got to get back up on that bicycle and just keep pedaling. You can't let it beat you down. You just got to get right back up on it and go. Verse 11. Of chapter 18. And you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10. That's Luke 19, verse 10. For the Son of Adam has come to save what was lost. Those that have strayed, and he's going to get into the sheep thing. Were his flock that he shepherds. Okay? All of these metaphors, but we're his if we truly believe and we try to act on that belief and we try to follow him, we may not always succeed because we're still in a sinful body, but it's the effort and the intent that Yahweh is looking at. Now we got verse 12. Here's where he gets into the sheep thing. Verse 12. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep, okay, you got a big flock, okay, great big flock of sheep, and they're all behaving and they're all staying in the sheepfold, and they're all right by you and all of that. If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, would he not leave the 99 on the mountains going to seek the one that is straying? In other words, each one of us as his sheep is important to the shepherd. Okay? Verse 13. And if he should find it truly, I say to you, he rejoices more over that sheep than over the 99 that did not go astray. Okay, that translates to us as well. If I give the word on my shows, and somebody hears, just one hears, and turns aside from the world, and starts to follow our master, and our Redeemer, the word of Yahweh has gone out and has not gone out void. It's produced fruit. And truthfully, I have a little hand in that. It's not me that does the saving, but I'm planting the seed that grows. That makes me joyous. I'm rejoicing over anybody that turns aside from the world and comes to Yahweh. This is how I feel. This is how we should feel if we witness to somebody and it makes a difference and they change their life. They have to do the changing. That's true. But you've done the service of the Father by giving them the word. So, you've gained a brother that's not going to go into the fire. That's an act of love, okay? Real love. Oh yeah, they may have been a sinner. But, aren't we all? Really? You know, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory. So why, if someone told us this word and it changed our life, why should we not feel great joy if we tell somebody else the word and it changes their life? Their life, because they're going to have the joy in the Father that we have. Why would we not want to share that joy? Why would we not? How can we not? That's what he's telling his taught ones here. Verse 14. Thus it is not the desire of your Father who is in the heavens that one of these little ones should be lost. Talking about people of Israel, the little sheep that belong to Yahweh. Verse 15. You can reference the book of Luke, chapter 17, verse 3. That's Luke 17:3. And if your brother sins against you, go and convict him. You know, tell him, hey, look, brother, what have you done to me? Go and convict him. Convict him of his sins. Talk to him. Between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. Verse 16. And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 15. That's Deuteronomy 19:15. The book of John, chapter 8, verse 17. It's John 8:17. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. That's 2 Timothy 5, verse 19. And the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 28. That's Hebrews 10, 28. Those are the references for verse 16. But if he does not hear, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. That's what all those verses are for. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word might be established. In other words, if he's ripped you off some way or whatever, you go and you confront him peaceably. Verse 17, and if he refuses to hear them, say it to the assembly. And if he refuses even to hear the assembly, let him be to you like the nations and a tax collector, people that are reviled. The pagan nations and a tax collector that serves the beast system. Okay. Verse 18. Now this is to his taught ones. Verse 18. And you can reference Matthew. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. The book of John, chapter 20, verse 23. That's Matthew 16, 19, and John 20. Verse 23. I'm trying to go slow enough that people can write. Verse 18. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be having been bound in heaven, and whatever you loosen on earth shall be having been loosened in heaven. So they had authority. Verse 19. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning any matter that they ask, it shall be done for them by my Father in the heavens. If you pray like we pray, we put out a call for prayer on EFR in a chat room or something, or on a show. Pray for one of our people. They're going to have an operation, like Marilyn just did. And she's blessed. She's blessed because she's a true believer and a true sister and a faithful follower of the Word. And Yahweh takes care of His own. We can pray against the beast system and against the evildoers, and they will be smitten. Believe me, it will be in Yahweh's time, but they're going to get it. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, there I am in their midst. In other words, I'm with you. Even after He's ascended, He's listening. Okay. Here's verse 21 and 22. Now, verse 21 and 22, you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 17, verses 3 and 4. That's Luke 17, verses 3 and 4. And in verse 22, which I will read, 22 alone is there's another reference of Genesis chapter 4, verse 24. That's Genesis 4, 24 as another reference for verse 22. Verse 21. Then Kepha, that's Peter, the rock, Kepha means stone, came to him and said, Master, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Verse 22, Yeshua said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now, a non-brother, somebody that's not of our people, they're hit. They're on their own. Okay? This applies to fellow Israelites. You understand? This whole gospel is to Israel. And Israel alone. Verse 23. Because of this, the reign of heavens is like a certain man. A sovereign who wished to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 24. And when he had began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a lot of money. Okay. Verse 25. But as he was unable to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. He would be sold into bonded servitude. Verse 26. Then the servant fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. Verse 27, and the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Now remember, this is metaphorical. Verse 28. And that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's a Roman monetary unit. I don't know how much it's worth. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Verse 29. Then his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I shall pay you all. Verse 30. But he would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. They had debtors' prisons back then. Verse 31. And when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were deeply grieved and came and reported to their master all that had taken place. Verse 32. Then his master called him and said to him, wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt, seeing you begged me. Verse 33, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, as I also had compassion on you? Verse 34, and his master was wroth, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. Verse 3, or 35, I'm a little too close, I have to back off, my glasses are for a better distance. Verse 35, so also my heavenly Father shall do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. In other words, what goes around comes around. How you treat your brethren is how Yahweh will look at you. If you're mean and wicked and evil to your brethren, you're hit. And that ends chapter 18. So now we will be getting into chapter 19. I don't know whether I'll get all of it done today because I'm going slow because there's so many verses and so much to explain that's generally not explained in these churches. They gloss over stuff and don't really get into it. And this stuff needs to be gotten into. Okay, Chapter 19, verse 1. And it came to be, when Yeshua had ended these words, that he left Galilee and came, pardon me, to the borders of Yehuda beyond the Jordan. That's the Jordan River. Verse 2. And large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. Verse 3, and the Pharisees came to him, trying him and saying to him, is it right for a man to put away his wife for every reason? In other words, just because he's tired of her and wants a new model. Verse 4. And you can reference Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. And Genesis 5, verse 2. That's Genesis 1, chapter 27, and Genesis 5, verse 2. And he answering said to them, did you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? Verse 5. You can reference Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Genesis 2, 24. And said, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Verse 6. So that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what Elohim has joined together, let man not separate. Okay, here's verse 7. And they said to him, because they're trying to trip him up, why then did Moshe command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? And you can reference Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. Deuteronomy 24, verses 1 through 4. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. And Matthew 5, 31. That's for verse 7 of chapter 19. Verse 8. And he said to them, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moshe allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. Verse 9. And you can reference Matthew chapter 5. Verse 32, Matthew 5, 32, and 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 and 11. 1 Corinthians 7, 10 and 11 on verse 9. And I say to you, whoever puts away his wife, except on the ground of whoring, now it's adultery, that's making impure the marriage, because she's fooling around, she's made it impure, and marries another, commits adultery. And whoever marries her who has been put away commits adultery. Can't marry a divorced woman. I'm sorry. That's. Oh, man. Well, that's what the word says. Don't argue with me. I'm reading it to you. If you want to dispute, you can take it up with the Lord. Okay? Verse 10. His taught one said to him, if such is the case of the man with his wife, it is good not to marry. Verse 11. And he said to them, not all receive this word, but only those to whom it has been given. Verse 12. For there are eunuchs who were so born from their mother's womb. And there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the sake of the reign of the heavens. He who is able to receive it, let him receive it. In other words, a lot of men have become celibate by choice because they have a sex problem and they need to control it. Or there's no room for a wife in their life because they're in service. And they couldn't devote the time to the wife that she deserves. There are rules for marriage. There are people that were born that don't have any desire. There are men who have made other men eunuchs. In other words, they've cut them by force. And there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs. In other words, by self-restraint, not necessarily the cutting. So they don't misstep. They forego having relations with women because they're not married. And it's sinful for relationships outside of the marriage. Oh boy. Verse 13. Then young children were brought to him to lay his hands on them and pray, and the taught ones rebuked them. Now go away, kid. You know. Nah. Verse 14. But Yeshua said, allow the young children and do not stop them from coming to me, for of such is the reign of the heavens. They were innocent and they wanted to be with the master. Verse 15. And having laid hands on them, he went from there. He blessed them. Okay. And see, one came and said to him, that's one man, good teacher, what good shall I do to have everlasting life? Here's verse 17, and you can reference the book of Luke, chapter 10, verse 28. Luke 10, 28, the book of John, chapter 12, verse 50. That's John 12, 50. The book of Revelations, chapter 22, verse 14. That's Revelations 22, 14. Okay. And he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except one. Elohim. That means the divine being. No one is good except one. Elohim. But if you wish to enter into life, guard the commands. In other words, obey the commandments. Obey the commandments. Verse 18. And he said to him, which? And Yeshua said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit. Pardon me. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. And I'm going to continue on into 19 and give all the references. Respect your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, verse 18. Reference Exodus 20, verses 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. That's Exodus 20, verses 13 through 16. Deuteronomy 5, verses 17 through 20. That's Deuteronomy 5, verses 17, 18, 19, and 20. And verse 19. You can reference Exodus 20, verse 12, Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16, Leviticus 19, verse 18. That's Exodus 20:12, Deuteronomy 5, 16, Leviticus 19, 18. Okay, verse 20. The young man said to him, "All those I have watched over from my youth, what do I still lack?" Verse 21. Yeshua said to him, "If you wish to be perfect," in other words, complete, whole, "go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Verse 21. You can reference Luke chapter 12, verse 33. That's Luke 12, 33. And chapter 16, verse 9. Chapter 16, verse 9. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 45. Chapter 4, verse 34. That's Acts 2, 45 and 4, 34. And the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 20. That's Matthew 6, 20. Verse 22, "And when the young man heard the word, he went away sad because he had many possessions." In other words, he loved his stuff. Oh well. Verse 23, "And Yeshua said to his taught ones, 'Truly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter into the reign of the heavens.'" In other words, they love their stuff. "And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle." Now, that was a very narrow and low gate into Jerusalem to prevent enemy troops from getting in, and a camel had to be unloaded and go down on its knees and walk through on its knees to get in through that gate. That's the camel gate. The eye of the needle was the name of it. "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the reign of Elohim." Verse 25, "And when his taught ones heard it, they were very astonished, saying, 'Who then is able to be saved?'" Verse 26, "And looking intently, Yeshua said to them, 'With men this is impossible, but with Elohim all is possible.'" In other words, he can draw them. Okay, verse 27. "Then Kepha answering said to him, 'See, we have left all and followed you. What then shall we have?'" Verse 28. And you can reference Matthew 25, 31 and Luke 22, 30. That's Matthew 25, 31 and Luke 22, 30 for verse 28. "And Yeshua said to them, 'Truly, I say to you, when the son of Adam sits on the throne of his esteem, you who have followed me in the rebirth shall also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel.'" Verse 29, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30. You can reference the book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 16, and Luke 13:30. That's Matthew 20:16 and Luke 13:30. Verse 30. But many who are first shall be last, and the last first. In other words, people that are high up in this life, in this world, may very well be ill thought of or last in the kingdom of heaven. Now, it goes in, this all of this dissertation goes in to the next chapter, which I cannot get to today. The next show, I will start with chapter 20. I have finished chapter 19 today. I cannot rush the notes and comments on these verses because they are so important. None of this deserves a gloss over, just to read it and then move on. This is so important, but we must really take our time and go slow and examine all of it with a fine-tooth comb. That's scripture study. You study. You don't just read it. Lots of guys just read stuff and then move on. We have to really examine everything. And with my knowledge of Hebrew and the Hebrew sayings, this was originally written in Hebrew with the Hebrew thought pattern. This was translated into Greek and Latin later, and then English. But he is speaking, and we have sections of Matthew that are still in existence that were written in the Hebrew. Not the whole book, because it over time it just crumbled, just due to time and age and the material it was composed on. Pretty tough to find a document that old that was written on papyrus or animal skins. They found some in the scrolls of Qumran, but they are hidden. The state of Israel is keeping a tight lid on all of that. Well, we're about done for the day here. I have less than 2 minutes, so I will wish you well. I will talk to you on the next show, and we will begin in chapter 20 of the book of Matthew on the next show. So may Yahweh bless and keep you. And it has been a true pleasure. Praise Yahweh.
Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war. With the cross of Jesus going on before, Christ the royal master leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banner go.
Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. You are listening to EuroFolkRadio.com. We are privileged to bring you the Christian identity message to the dispersed people of true Israel, wherever they might be. We also bring you news and current events, health information, political commentary, and a little humor thrown in. We are glad that you could join us, and may Yahweh bless and keep you. Praise Yahweh.